We have any more? All right, can I have a couple people help with the communion? And we'll... And you have another praise report. Darion kicked a goal in his soccer game. Again? Again? Well, Father, we thank you for the body of Jesus and his sacrifice. Father, we thank you for everything that he did for us in that sacrifice. He took his perfect body and offered it up for us. He was beaten and bruised for us. His body was broken for us. And it's by his stripes that we were healed. Father, his body was pierced all over the place. And he shed blood. And everywhere he shed his blood, we got redemption in some area for us. We praise you for that. That perfect body, that perfect sacrifice was on the cross, and you laid the full wrath of your fiery judgment on him. The judgment that was meant for us, you laid it on Jesus. You treated Jesus the way we deserve to be treated so that you could treat us the way Jesus deserved to be treated. And we thank you for this in Jesus' name. That perfect body of Jesus shed his sinless blood. And when he released his blood, it changed everything. That blood not only has washed away our sins, but it justified us freely by his grace. We've been judged and now we're justified. Justified, never sinned, because of what Jesus did. And he made us the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So we can stand in God's presence as though nothing ever happened, because the blood of Jesus washed it away. This blood gives us the boldness to enter into the throne room of grace and receive mercy and grace in the time of need. When we make a mistake, don't run from God like Adam and Eve did. Run to God. Run to God like the prodigal son. Run to him because he's the only one that can make it right. We thank you for this. Praise God. God is good all the time. Are we going to have children's church? Okay. Interesting story about me this morning. I was getting ready for my sermon and I opened up of the page that God wanted me to preach from today. And I was looking around for my glasses. And I couldn't find my glasses anywhere. They just vanished. So while praise and worship was going on, I was down at the dollar store trying on glasses. But God in His goodness, He found me a pair. Amen? Open up your Bibles to Romans chapter 3. We'll start at verse 1. What advantage then has the Jew, or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Yet let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. But if our righteousness commend the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unrighteous who taketh vengeance? I speak as a man. God forbid, for then how shall God judge the world? For if the truth of God has more abounded through my lie unto his glory, why yet am I also judged as a sinner? And not rather as we be slanderously reported, and as some affirm that we say, let us do evil, that good may come, whose damnation is just. See, the Jews, they did not believe the oracles of God. They had the word of God, but they didn't mix it with faith, and it didn't do them any good. Because they didn't want to believe what God had said. Actually, they actually said they didn't want Jesus to be known because they had a good deal worked out with the Roman government. Basically. And some of them didn't want to see the Lamb of God. They wanted to see the King of God. They wanted to see Him restore them back into their original place. They wanted the kingdom of God to be here, they wanted to be restored back to where they were on top. They missed the Lamb of God looking for the King. Now, unfortunately, we have a lot of Christians running around that are missing out on the King because they're focused on the Lamb. You know, the Lamb of God, absolutely we focus on the Lamb of God, but you have to focus on the King too. He is King. He is Lord and King. What I'm getting to is getting right down here in verse 9. It tells us that all are guilty before God. There's no man that can stand on his own. No man can stand on his own. All have been found guilty before God. What then? Are we better than they? No, no wise, for we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way, they are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongues they have deceit, use deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood, and destruction and misery are in their ways. And the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. That describes a lot of the world today. I run into people all the time in them shoes. Absolutely not worried about what's going to happen tomorrow. Absolutely no thought. They believed a lie. See, they had this idea that you can do whatever you want. That's a lie straight from the pit of hell. Now, you can do all things through Christ that strengthens you, but you can't do whatever you want. You know, people have this idea that you should do whatever makes you happy. No. You have to find your joy in the Lord. The devil will tell you to do whatever makes you happy. Not God. God does want you to be happy, joyous, and free. But there's unhealthy things that people find to do that make them happy for a little while. And then it causes them destruction. Let's look down here to verse 23. It says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." There's nobody walking on the face of this earth that has never not sinned. Nobody. There's nobody that can stand on their own righteousness. There's nobody that can do anything good enough to earn the righteousness that God requires to stand before Him. We've all sinned and we come short of the glory of God. That's something that every man needs to realize. I actually had a guy tell me one time that he had never broken any of the commandments. I looked at him and I thought, how did you come up with that? There's a special group of people that had this law-keeping thing going on for them down there in Midland, and they had this idea that they'd never broken any of the commandments. And I thought, okay, whatever. I'm not going to waste any more time on you. But here's the thing. In verse 24, it says, "Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." The only way that we are justified before God is through His grace because of the sacrifice of Jesus. Jesus shed His blood on the cross. And that's the only way that we can stand before Him. Is through the blood of Jesus. We've been justified freely by His grace. Do you understand this? In order to be justified, you have to first be judged. There are a lot of people that are waiting for judgment. Christians that are waiting for judgment. Christians that are worried about the judgment day. That shouldn't be. That shouldn't be. There's actually Christians that are worried about the great white throne judgment. You don't get to go to the great white throne judgment. Praise God. Praise God, because the very next step is the lake of fire. You're saved by grace. You're saved by grace. Jesus did the hard work. Your job is to believe on Him. Amen. It's a terrible thing for Christians to live their lives in fear, waiting on God to judge them, when He's already has. He has already judged you. You may not realize this, but when Jesus was on that cross, so were you. Your old man has been crucified with Christ. And then he got buried. See, here's the thing about baptism. When you get born again and you go get water baptized, You're identifying with Jesus in his burial. And then when you come back up, you're leaving that old man buried. You're cutting off from your old enemies. Don't go digging him up. Just leave him there. God set forth Jesus to be the propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. That's how we get to our righteousness, is because of his sacrifice and his shed blood. We believe on him for the remission of sins. Now, in the Old Testament, they didn't have a remission. See, here's the thing. In the Old Testament, they had an atonement. When you sinned, you could go get a covering. But that covering would go away after a time. Remission is a complete washing away. When God takes your sins, them sins are buried in the blood of Jesus. And you can't see them again. The devil might try to remind you of them once in a while, but they're a blurred copy of it. But God only sees the blood of Jesus. He sees the sacrifice. When you believe on the blood of Jesus, you're in a good spot. See, God made it simple for us. He said, all that call on the name of the Lord Jesus shall be saved. Believe on the name of Jesus. How hard is that? That's not. But people will say, okay, now here's these other 5 things that you need to do, and here's these other 10 things that you need to do. And then it gets complicated and frustrating and hard, and people start giving up, and people get mean. Some of the meanest Christians I've ever seen were legalistic people. Man, you got to follow this to the T. You got to do this. You got to do that. You got to do this. You got to do that. And it's hard. It's a struggle. It's a struggle. They're not living their life under grace. They're living their life according to their own works, trying to achieve their own righteousness. And they become frustrated. I want you to look up here at verse 19. Oh, that what things soever the law saith, it says to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. You're never, ever, ever, ever going to be able to do anything good enough to qualify for God's salvation. The only thing we can do is call on the name of the Lord Jesus. There's an interesting story in the Bible about Jesus when he was on the cross. And there was 2 people. There was one on each side of him on the cross. They were in the same boat he was. One of them was railing nasty things at him, and the other one looked over at him and he said, Jesus, remember me. And Jesus said, this day you shall be in paradise. Now notice, this guy was nailed to the cross. He's on the cross. This guy never read the Bible. He never went to church. He never paid tithes. He never got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He never got water baptized. He never witnessed to anybody. He wasn't part of the praise and worship team. He never took communion. He didn't do anything except call on Jesus. And he got to paradise. Call on the name of the Lord Jesus and you shall be saved. That is the only way. The only way to maintain your salvation is to believe on the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. I was so frustrated. When I got born again, I didn't really know much. I just knew I got born again. And I was looking for help and I was looking for answers. And I suppose I made all the all the same mistakes that everybody else might do. I'd reach out to any old pastor I found. I said, well, he's a pastor. He must know something. So I was struggling, you know. And I'd go ask somebody something, and I'd just get filled with nonsense. And I knew it was nonsense, but I didn't know much, but I knew that was bull. I actually had one guy tell me, I was really hurting. I really needed help, and I was asking him for what to do, what I needed to do, and he said, well, you can't possibly be saved. I said, why? He said, well, you have to be a member of the fire department, and you have to do these things in the church, and you have to be a Mason. And I thought, that just doesn't sound right. I don't know anything, but I boogied on out of there. God, in his mercy, he finally got me off by myself without any preachers and got me to read the Bible. And that did a lot of good for me. That did more good for me than anything. Just reading the Bible, the New Testament. But I realized along the way, I couldn't do anything. You know, all these do's that they say do and all these don'ts that they say don't do. I told God, I put the Bible down. I said, I'm toast because I can't make it a day without making a mistake. And I said, I'm already in trouble. But the Holy Spirit found the verse in there that said, I'm saved by grace. Not just born again by grace. I'm saved by grace. My salvation is by grace. That means not only did I get born again and go into heaven, but also in my day-to-day life. And because of 1 John 1:7, it tells me that the blood, if I walk in the light as he is in the light, the blood of Jesus continually cleanses me from all sin. That's good news. That's good news. That got me up off my knees asking God to forgive me every time I turn around. We try as hard as we can to help people along the way. And then one of the things that got impressed upon me early was 1 John 1:9. When I make a mistake, ask God to forgive me. So I was trying as hard as I could. I was on my knees every time I turned around. And then it got frustrating, really frustrating at time when it came time to take communion. And finally, I gave up on communion. I didn't want no part of that because of the misteachings on that deal. Finally, somebody said, you know, if you just shut up and listen to God, he'd tell you, I already forgave you 2,000 years ago. Will you walk in that? And I thought, whoa, what a revelation that was. Because of the shed blood of Jesus, it continually cleanses us from all sin. Amen? Now, does that give you a license to be an idiot? No. No. But when we make a mistake, it keeps the condemnation from taking over. See, that, remember in Romans chapter 8, it says, therefore, there is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. So when you get condemnation coming your way, it's not coming from God. It's coming from the devil. And the devil's favorite tool to beat up Christians with is the law. Because he will come and remind you of the mistake that you made when you broke the law. You need to remind him that you're under grace and that you're under the blood of Jesus. He hates that. He hates that. You want to hurt the devil? Tell him about the blood of Jesus. Tell him what the blood of Jesus did for you. Tell him how the blood of Jesus remitted your sins and how it continually cleanses you from all sin. Amen? Here's a clue for you. Sometimes people have a real struggle walking in this forgiveness and walking in this cleansing. And one reason it is because they hold grudges against people They say, you did this. And then they'll hold it against them and it'll eat a hole in their stomach. You got to understand that if the blood of Jesus isn't good enough for that guy, how is it going to be good enough for you? See, you got to think about these things sometimes. You got to understand that the blood of Jesus was shed for all. Verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for the law is the knowledge of sin. The law cannot make you holy, just, and good. The law is holy, just, and good, but the law will not lift one finger to help you be holy, just, and good. Only the blood of Jesus. Only the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus is the only thing that can make you holy, just, and good. If you're relying on your efforts and your good deeds to get to heaven, you're missing the boat. Only the blood of Jesus gets you there. When you call on the name of the Lord Jesus, you shall be saved. The knowledge of sin. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. We all know. Even before we get born again, we know that we're sinners. I used to get so irritated with preachers. They'd come and tell me, you're going to hell. And I said, I know, I got one foot in the fire already. I said, I don't know what to do about it. And then these people would say, you need to quit drinking, you need to quit smoking, you need to quit hanging around at the bars, you need to quit running around with wild women, and you need to go marry some young girl and go to church. I sat there and scratched my head and said, lady, you know how many times I quit drinking? Do you know how many times I quit smoking? I didn't know how to answer them on the young girl. But what they were doing, they were telling me, don't break the law. Really. Don't fulfill the lust of the flesh, you'll be able to walk in the Spirit. They had that verse just in backwards. They were telling me to clean up my life and then go to church. That's the reverse. They should have been telling me, said, go to church and let God clean you up. Walk in the Spirit and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. One of my things is I tell people, don't try to get your life in order and go to church. Go to church and let God get that straightened out. He's the only one that can do it. I've told a lot of alcoholics, I've invited them to church. I'd say, you need to stop in the morning and have a drink before you get there. So you don't break into tremors. You can sit there and relax and let God's word get into you. Did you know God's the only one that can fix anything? You know how many religious people have gotten spitfire mad at me for inviting alcoholics to church? Invite, bring them in right off the street. Not at my home church. My home church, there were 300 or 400 people in that church, and there were 3 rows of people in there that had witnessed to and brought them to church. All of them. I'd find them on the street. I'd find them wherever I found them. I'd invite them. I'd witness to them. They'd get born again, whatever. I'd bring them to church and tell, there's your pastor. That's our job as believers. That's our job, is to go into all the world and preach the gospel to all the creatures. We don't pre-qualify them. We just go to all of them. All of them. And here's the thing. Go to Romans chapter 10. We'll start at verse 8. Now that we understand that there's nothing that we can possibly do to save ourselves, and then there's nothing that anybody else can possibly do to save themselves, that all we can do is call on the name of the Lord Jesus and believe in that shed blood on that cross that took care of everything for us. And our job is to believe and let Him change us from the inside out. Romans chapter 10, verse 8 says, "But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach." See, nobody is going to come to the conclusion that Jesus is our Lord without somebody telling them that Jesus died on the cross for their sins. They have to hear it. They have to hear it with their ears so that they can believe it in their heart so that they can say it with their mouth. That somebody has to tell them that Jesus died on the cross for them. Verse 9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. The confession with the mouth. Now, there's a lot of pressure put on people to say the sinner's prayer. And that's a good way for people to get born again. But I want you to show me where Paul said the sinner's prayer. Paul got knocked off his donkey and he looked up and he said, "Who are you, Lord?" "Oh, you're Lord." he said, "You're Lord." He all of a sudden believed that God raised Jesus back to life, and then he confessed, "You are Lord." But the sinner's prayer, as we call it, is just a good way to get people zeroed in and locked in on the fact that Jesus is coming into their heart. They're calling him to be their Lord and Savior. They believe in their heart that God raised Jesus back to life. Because right there in verse 10, it tells us that with the heart, man believes unto righteousness. That means, here's a big thing now. With our heart, we believe that now we are in right standing with God. See, before we get born again, I knew I was not in right standing with God. And I full well expected a lightning bolt or something horrible to happen to me at any given minute. Because I didn't know God. I didn't know His mercy. I didn't know that He had actually had a plan of salvation for me. Nobody had ever told me that. They said, "You're going to hell." But then finally one day somebody come and told me, he said, "Hey, look, you don't have to go to hell. You can go to heaven." That was a different approach. And he said, "If you call on the name of the Lord Jesus, you shall be saved." Man, my hand was in the air. I didn't want to go to hell. Nobody else does either. I've had people say they want to go to hell. They don't want to be there when they get there. And it's with our mouth that confession is made unto salvation. With the heart, man believes unto righteousness. With our mouth, confession is made unto salvation. There's people listening to these on Facebook, post these sermons on Facebook, and I didn't realize there's a lot of people listening to these things all the way from Wyoming to Texas and all over the place. So it's important to give an altar call once in a while. If you've been listening to these and you would like to ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, you say this prayer with me out of your mouth so that your ears can hear it. I want every head to be bowed. We bow our heads out of reverence to God. We close our eyes out of respect to our neighbor. This is a personal thing between somebody and God. If you want to make Jesus, if you're not sure you're going to heaven or not, if you're just hoping you're going to go to heaven, you need to get this sealed in stone right now. And this is how you do it. You say this prayer, you follow along with me. Lord Jesus, I believe in my heart that God raised you back to life. I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. I ask you to come into my heart. Wash me clean. I thank you for forgiving me. And I thank you for saving me. This day, I confess Jesus to be my Lord. Now, if you just said that for the first time, you've been born again. You're saved. Your next step is to get water baptized. Or you could get the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Or you can get them both at the same time. However you want to believe God for, it's up to you. But we're going to have a water baptism right after we have snacks. You're going to get dunked. The Greeks dunk. The Greeks baptize their donuts. Did you know that? They baptize their donuts. That's taking a pretty religious word and turning it into a pretty basic translation. The Greeks baptize their donuts. That means they dunk them. That's what it means to get baptized. Dunked. You get dunked. They could have just said, once you get born again, go get dunked. That would have saved a lot of church fights. That would have probably cut down the amount of denominations by a few. Anyway.